Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
I was inspired by you too, Robert. Inspired.
Did you go clothes shopping or something?
Nope. Yesterday morning when I got up.
You're inspired by me.
Yes.
You went straight into the laundry. You did a load of washing, hung your clothes out.
Nope.
I don't know. What, change a tire on the car?
Nope. Something better.
Cut the grass.
No. I'll do that this weekend. Jeez, it's long. My hedge is pretty big too.
What'd you do?
Made pancakes. But.
Well, that's good. Good on
thanks,
you.
No.
As far as easy goes, it doesn't get much easier than pancakes. That's a good place to start.
Well, there are issues.
You can't stuff that up.
Well, you can. Because what I did.
What do you mean?
Because I normally just buy those shaker ones at the, you know, the greens one. You put the water in and you shake them.
You can't
go wrong with those. You cannot go wrong with those pancakes.
Add water, shake.
Brilliant.
Pour it in the pan.
And then you only use about one or two, you know, cupfuls and leave it the rest in the fridge and it just ferments over the next 3 months.
Right. And when you take it out, the pressure on the bottle.
It blows up.
You don't want to take the lid off in
just
case.
Just go boom like that. Well, I didn't. Anyway, so I thought a quick recipe went on fine.
Why was that? Because you didn't have any leftover in the cupboard?
No, I didn't have any in the cupboard, so I thought I'll do it myself. I said,
so how do you stuff it up? It's the easiest thing in the world.
Well, that's what I thought.
Tell me through it. What did you do?
Well, I first checked.
See if I can pick your mistake.
Everyone was self-raising flour, all the recipes. I mean, I didn't have self-raising flour.
You don't need self-raising flour. You can make crepes.
Yeah, well, I had plain flour. That's so I just searched recipe.
Plain flour.
Plain flour, which I did, and it said the fluffiest pancakes ever.
Do you know what you add to plain flour if you want them to fluff up?
Bicarb soda.
Well done.
Because it was in the recipe.
Yeah, so
what happened? So I did all the dry ingredients and then they mixed the wet ingredients.
So you had your plain flour, your bicarb soda.
And then sugar. It wanted caster sugar, but we didn't have any of that.
Why would you put mate.
They said, it was only a teaspoon, but you know what you do if you don't have caster sugar? Get normal sugar and then you put a rolling pin over it. You put it in one of those sealed bags, roll it out, and it just breaks it up, makes it fine.
Okay.
So put that in.
Yeah.
And then in the other bowl I had 3 eggs. Some melted butter, some vanilla essence. And so anyway, I mixed that with the flour. And so it turned.
Any milk in?
Well, no. This was the incident.
I was thinking, what could you've forgotten either. You've forgotten eggs or you've forgotten.
No. So I put that ingredient and I mixed it in with the flour and it was Play-Doh.
Because there's no liquid.
On there. This is not the normal. This is not the normal bloody a pancake sort of. Texture.
You just chucked it straight in the oven and made a rock cake.
So I thought, what have I missed? And I went, oh, the bloody milk. So I got a cup of milk and put it in with the Play-Doh. And so I've got an island of Play-Doh with the milk around it, submerged by the milk. And then I tried to mix it, but then it was really...
Because it was hard.
It was clumpy. So
did you have it in a like an electric mixer?
No, just hand whisk.
No, well done.
And I thought, I am not going to throw away 3 eggs, milk, some vanilla essence and all that. So what did you do? I got out a sieve. And then I got the sieve.
You tried to push it through a sieve.
I pushed it through a sieve.
You're a disaster.
And then I'm pushing it through. I did lose half of the mixture because it stayed in the top and on the bottom of the sieve. And then I mixed and mixed and mixed. And, you know. And then I thought, bloody hell, not a lump in it. So I thought I'd cook it. And do you know what?
So you did actually put it, you forced it through the sieve and tried to mix it with the milk until it became lump-free.
Lump-free.
Is it like a lump-free liquid?
Yeah.
Oh, and, very well done.
And then so I decided I'll cook this and, you know, on the pan with a little bit of oil and all that sort of stuff. Okay. And I tell you what, it was supposed to be cardboard, it was bloody beautiful cardboard. Because
pulled biscuits off.
It did not move an inch when I flipped it. It was so hard. It went like that. So we've used them for pavers
down
the back.
Thank goodness for maple syrup.
Yes, exactly. Just a little bit of a tip. Holy hell. Just a little bit of a tip if you're doing homemade pancakes. Should have gone to Coles and bought that greens mix. But anyway, you know, we live and learn, don't we?
You only just survived it.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
You know, I think after Saturday night,
what's doing happened?
Rock at the Races... And just listening to the beat, I was able to, like, click in time, clap in time. I even put my foot in time when I was backstage, the side of the stage.
It's quite amazing because there's not many people that have
the same inability.
Inability,
yeah. Well, I was going to say ability to not be in time, to be tone deaf and...
you know what it is? You can only do one thing at a time.
Right, that's true.
I've been told that. So all you did was click there.
Yeah.
But if you had to click and actually sing, and do something else...
Couldn't do it. Hopeless. Couldn't do it. Yeah, Rocket the Races. It was on Saturday. 10 acts, 50... it seemed to be more than 50 massive hits. It was huge. It was hot at the start, like, because Saturday was a bloody hot day.
I remember thinking, gee,
God, it was a hot day.
How hot is it today?
And, you know, it was scorching hot. But luckily, you know, on the side... So,
everyone stayed hydrated?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with whatever they could. Oh, hello to Ian from Berkeley. Ian was supplying me drinks on the side, getting me beers. Ian, I really appreciate it. I owe you six.
Here you go. Here you go.
Here we go, Deb.
You're easily conned, aren't
you? We'll get Deb from Yumina. G'day, Deb.
Oh, hello, Deb.
Good morning. No, Rob, I can give you first hand, mate. He was not in time. Yep. I watched him from the afternoon to the evening. And he fell down the stairs at the side where I was standing.
Oh, that is a lie. Damn,
Gerard.
I did not have that many
beers.
Was
that after your fifth or your sixth?
I did not.
That was after his second.
That is a lie. That is a complete lie.
He's a two-can screamer.
That is a complete lie. But it was so good. Like, we had Matt Finish, Glenn Shorrock, the Shantuzies, Wendy Matthews, Mark Gable, Eurogliders, Russell Morris, Richard Clapton, Daz, Daryl Braithwaite, Dragon. And I caught up with Mark Williams, who is now the lead singer of Dragons, before they did the final act on Saturday night.
Mark, welcome, mate.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Mate, what number band member are you of the Dragons?
Me, I think I'm band member number 32. I thought it was 32. I think it ends at 32. There's a cutoff period.
Mate, and how long you guys been going for?
This particular lineup going on 16, 17 years, but the band started in 1973.
Yeah, so. And as I say, anything that comes from New Zealand and achieves, we claim as our own. So you're local now. You're one of ours.
Pretty much. Don't you worry about that.
And that was Mark Williams. And look, it was too many Marks on the day. Mark Gable from the Choir Boys, our local boy, he was a bit nervous.
Doesn't sound right.
Pre-performance. Are you nervous, mate?
Paddy, I'm terrified. No, I'm not, mate. You're doing a great job. Despite what people are saying, I love you, and this is a great day. And
it's bloody brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
You know, and living on the Central Coast means that we're heroes, so we can participate in this and drag all these bastards up from, you know, Sydney and Melbourne, you know, to play rock and roll for us.
And it was good. And
how much did you pay him to tell everyone he loved you?
But it wasn't just me. Listen what Mark Gable did the intro for this song with a local on Triple M who does After Nine.
Mickey D and my ex-girlfriend who's here, Helen, goes like this.
Yeah, I got a few Mickey D plugs out as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Mickey D, he was there. I know that for a fact. Yep. He sent me this. A little
bit. From Triple M, welcome everyone to the Races, Rock of the Races 2024. It's going to be a really huge day today. We've got 10 acts. About
2024.
Was he a year out?
Mickey D. Was I a year out? Your video. You're just celebrating 2024. You take 1 week off, mate, you missed a whole year.
Because we actually, before that, we were talking backstage. I was talking to another Mark from Empire. And Empire Touring said, we are going to do this in 2024. I said, oh, mate, can't wait.
Can't wait.
I said, if this is 2023, I said, it'll be good for 2024. So I've gone
and
out.
And you've gone out with 24 on the brain. No one would have picked it up. No one but Mickey D. Anyway.
Oh, good on you, Mickey.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Tell you one thing about, because we went up to the Gold Coast for a week, drove up there. Didn't fly this time, but just drove up there.
I would have driven too.
Oh, look, it's only 8 hours.
Exactly. Oh. 8 hours with the people you love the most.
Yeah.
Really close comfort.
Oh, brilliant.
And, you know, toilet stops anytime you need.
Well, eight and a half with toilet stops. Geez, we stopped a bit. But I tell you what, the quality, because I haven't driven up to the Gold Coast for a while, the quality of the toilets haven't improved over the years, let me tell you. You walk in and you just go, oh, fair dinkum. Disgusting at some
nothing
of the
quite like a roadhouse down here, is there?
Dinkum. I don't know how often they clean them, but they should clean them more.
It feels like you've just gotten unlucky and come in just behind someone at the wrong time every time.
And what you do, you try and choose the right cubicle. It's like Lotto, actually, or one of those spinning wheels at the casino, which we went to. I'll tell you about that.
I use more toilet paper cleaning the thing down before I go than I do
Look, people,
after the event,
people thought I was weird walking in with gloves, but I tell you what, that was just to get right. the toilet paper to wipe the seat.
Even just to get out, you know what you do, because you turn the taps on, wash your hands.
Yeah.
And then you go, now I have to touch the door handle.
You know what I do?
You get the paper towel?
No, I use my shirt and put my shirt on my finger and get to the bottom, and just the bottom of the shirt.
That explains a lot. That explains your clothes.
Because where sometimes the bin is not handy to where the door is. So you can't. I don't always use. If the bin is handy, I will use paper towels.
You don't need to. You get the paper towel and you open the door. Now then take the paper towel with you and put it in the bin next to your car.
What about at one place we stopped on the way back? We were eating KFC because you'd just been to the toilet. I'm there, honey. Do you have hand sanitizer? There's no way I'm going to touch that KFC.
Oh, now because I've been there. There's no. I don't think I'll ever again in my life touch the inside handle of a toilet door at a service station. Because
is it just us? No. Is it just us? All right, you better get this, mate. Get this.
Hello, Triple M.
For the motorbike listeners, good morning. It's the man who believes that if any battler on Struggle Street is in desperate need of a pee, any side of the road is your urinal, be you male or female.
Right.
Providing you hide behind a tree or a bush. Yeah. But in that case, watch out for snakes. Oh, God. Nobody wants to suck the poison from that bite.
No, they
don't. Palmer, good morning.
Hello, Big Al. We're also talking about one of the dirtiest toilets going around. Which one would you give the tick of disapproval to?
Robin, it is like winning lotto.
It is indeed.
The chances of finding a clean and healthy public toilet, very rare.
Yeah.
And I've got to agree with you both. Roadhouse toilets.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah,
it's awful.
You have to be dressed as though you're dealing with an infected patient just to enter.
Yeah.
And when you exit...
Yeah.
And when you exit... You have to go through a decontamination shower.
Yeah,
that's a lot of effort just to do a piddle, isn't it?
Yeah.
But one thing bemuses me about public toilets.
What's that, Big Al?
When you ask a business, a service station or a pizza shop, can you use their dunny?
Yeah.
Oftenest out the back.
Of course.
They hand you a key.
Oh, yeah.
And that key is either attached to a piece of wood the size of a paver.
Correct.
A road sign or a bloody milk crate.
Yeah,
honestly,
true.
I am not going to steal it, I promise. Why would I want probably the world's most unhygienic key?
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
If I was going to run off with a key, it wouldn't be a single toilet used by the entire staff at a shopping complex.
No,
would be a key to the Perth Mint Depository.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that's what I call a toilet break. Anyway, must go. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wash your hands.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
In dangerous territory here because...
Right.
Well, last week when we had some time, because you went up north with the family.
Yeah, went to the GC.
Yep. I said to my beautiful, lovely... hard-working.
Oh, hang on.
Wife.
Hang on.
Gwen.
There's something big's going to come here.
No.
You don't put all those adjectives in there.
No. She's wonderful. What a woman. Anyway, so I said, look, you...
The clangor's coming soon.
Yeah, you have earned... You work so hard.
Yeah.
You're doing like all the other end of life, right? Yeah. You're getting the kids ready for this and doing all this stuff. Said, why don't you go for a little break?
Oh, right. And you stay home with the kids?
And I'll stay home because I got a week off because, you were away.
Yeah.
I'll do the kids' stuff.
Yeah.
And didn't I work out how to do it seamlessly perfect?
Of course you would have.
Oh,
because you are perfect, Palmer, as we do know.
You know what? With kids in the morning?
Yeah.
Because once they're gone.
It's pretty easy.
Once they're gone.
No disrespect.
You wake them up.
Yeah.
I figured, because I've got a 15-year-old girl, and that was my biggest challenge. I thought, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Because, you're veterinary allowed in the room, let alone...
plastic snake in the bed. Did you do that? No.
Oh, what's that?
Get some out. No.
Air horn?
Yeah.
Can you imagine air horning 15-year-old girl in the morning?
Mower. Mower, you brought in the mower.
No, that's right. That's right. No, okay. I didn't do any of that.
None.
I just went in, I sat on the end of the bed, and I just grabbed one foot and I just shook it. It took me about 10 minutes each morning.
Yeah.
But I just sit there and shook a foot until eventually there was like a kick. And then you go, are you up now?
Yeah,
I'm up. And then you don't believe the first time up.
No, because quite often you leave the room and about 10 minutes later you go back.
That's right. No.
They're comatose still.
Are you up? Yes, I'm up. No problem. All right. And then you just stay there and just keep shaking the foot. I said I was up. No, I'm not sure if I believe you. I am up.
All right. So, you got them up.
That was it. Get up. Well and then done. They'd come down. You make like breakfast. I would do bacon. And yeah. I'd have all their lunches were made the night before.
Good work.
And then they'd go to school. And I tell you what, there's a lot of time between
9 o'clock and 3.
And school. So I played golf. Went surfing.
Clean the house.
I cleaned the house.
Yeah.
House was spotless.
So you're in saying.
The house was spotless from start to finish.
Right. Right.
I only did it for a week, though.
So you're comparing yourself to your good wife? Is
no,
that
I can just. I'm just saying that I imagine by week 400, it would be that'd get a bit monotonous and a bit tough.
Yeah, very much so.
However,
I'll
tell you what, that one week that I did it,
pretty 10 out of 10.
Bang on.
How many? 10, five, 10 out of 10.
5 stars, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, of course you would have. Of course you would
have. Spotless it was.
Right, right, I could imagine. So
so that's what I'm expecting.
You are the yardstick from which others now will be judged.
Yeah, correct.
Triple M.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
You know those shoes of yours that you're not allowed to take off inside the house, and if you do take them off, you need a foot bath just so that you can enter the home without stinking it out?
You know what? I'll just have you know.
Tell me your feet don't stink.
My feet don't stink. They do not. You could. I could bring Chloe, our producer, the good Chloe, in here and say, sniff my shoes. And she would say.
Don't.
Oh, she's putting up the sign
she
saying,
said, no,
no,
no, I'm not doing it.
But she could come in and say, no, they don't stink. Some people, I lived with Scummy in Brisbane. Jeez, his feet stunk. They were horrendous. And you know those odour eaters and all that stuff for the shoes? They do not work.
Do not work? No. If you've got a foot problem, you're
just horrendous. Just horrendous. His feet used to sweat like there's no tomorrow.
There are people that are happy to take those shoes.
Are there?
Yes. It's called the Tread Lightly program.
Right.
Hot property now.
What, smelly shoes?
Yep, because they're recycling them. So when your shoes are gone, you don't chuck them in the bin anymore. You can actually get them recycled.
But would you?
No, you don't recycle them to use them again, but they take them and they break it down for all different other sorts of materials that you get out of them.
Oh, right. Because there's everyone.
So plastics and things like that.
There's one person in everyone's family, for some reason, their feet stink. Like they take their shoes off. You know where you can follow them down the carpet.
Yeah, someone's home. Okay. Yeah, because you can smell it a mile. Did you know that of the 4.9 million tonnes of material sent to landfill each year in this country, 4.9 million tonnes.
That's a lot, eh?
I often think about every rubbish night. Where that's all going in. Into some hole.
Yeah.
2.4 million of those 4.9 tonnes, that's half of what we throw away, is actually recyclable.
There you go. Make sure you recycle.
So, you know, just get it right.
So what do you do with your shoes?
Don't throw your shoes out.
All right.
Take them to the Tread Lightly program.
Yep. And they will do them up, re-enhance them.
No, they won't. They're going to strip them down.
That's what I mean.
Raw materials.
That's what I mean.
Look it up, Tread Lightly program. Yeah.
Well, what about this?
We're doing good things.
If your kid's into learning about Romans at school, Elsa, she was the daughter. Her mum took her, Fisher,
Elsa.
Took her, Elsa, yeah. Probably after Frozen. Yeah, let her go. Took her to the museum in Cambridge. She was learning about Romans at school, so they thought they'd go to the Museum of Archaeology. And as they had Roman pottery, right, and Fisher was trying to be the supportive mum and inspiring Elsa to be more interested in the topic and sparking her curiosity around Roman history. So they went to the museum, and the mum wanted to encourage her daughter to share a trip with the classmates and the teachers, so they brought home a memento. They took home a postcard, which she took it to school. Now, I'm going to give you a picture of the postcard.
Okie doke.
And tell us what's on the postcard.
This
is Roman pottery.
Which way is it up?
Roman.
That way, yeah.
Roman piece of pottery with a postcard. And anyway, they were looking at it, and they went to this parent-teacher night, and the teachers were laughing. And what it is. It's
Roman or Greek?
No, that's Roman.
Okay.
So what's on it? Please describe what's on the postcard.
Well, I don't know how to say this on air.
Mm-hmm.
They look like.
And they are.
They're long and they're.
Mm-hmm.
They look firm.
They've got two pearl balls at the end.
They've got little balls.
The end.
And then a shaft.
And a fireman's helmet.
And an end.
And. After sharing the story.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 6 of them.
After sharing the story to the Facebook group, thankfully, Rebecca was met with a wave of support from parents who found the incident hilarious.
I bet they did.
And, you know, and who ever thought that Pornhub existed back in the Roman days?
No. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
It's a big month for Central Coast Jordan's Cabrita, who is hoping to celebrate World Down Syndrome Day as the number one CrossFit athlete in this country. He's from our great area. He joins us this morning, as well as his mum, Jordan. Hello, bud.
Jordy.
There, lad, you.
How you going, bud?
Good.
Going all right? And we've got your mum with us as well, Danielle.
Hi, hey, Danielle.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, we're going all right. Jordan, you excited? Now, is it this weekend?
No, I think you just did it over the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, was it on? Oh, it was over the weekend.
It was on over the weekend.
Contrary to what I'm reading here,
it was on over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Bloody hell!
You had very high hopes going in, didn't you, Jordan?
Fifth year, so well, top fourth. He's 16th in the world and fourth in Australia.
Oh, 16th in the world. That's huge, mate.
That is massive. Yeah. And fourth in Australia, that is a huge effort. And what was the competition like? Pretty fierce?
Hard.
No, hard. Tiggy.
Very hard.
No, hard.
It was easy for him.
Oh, it was easy. Of course it was.
Jordan, how long have you been training, buddy?
For 3 years.
For 3 years?
6 years.
Oh, 6 years.
6 years. Now, Jordan, when Paddy goes to the gym, it's usually just to have a bit of a chat, chin wag. In fact, his jaw gets, it's really quite cut because it's all he does is work it out at the gym. You actually do a bit of, work hard at the gym, don't you? What's your favourite discipline?
Then there's a peppy.
Burpees.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do a burpee to save my life.
You like a good, don't you, too?
Yeah.
And whereabouts was the event held, the CrossFit Athlete of the Year?
It's online. It's online.
Oh, so you do it online. Now, okay, so you're 16th in the world. What about next year? So will you plan from now? Will you have a break and then work for next year?
Yes.
Well, he's got a competition in Queensland, which is the Oceania semi-finals in May, at the end of May.
All right. And what happens if he scores well in that, Danielle?
Well, this year, because Geordie falls under the men's intellectual division, it's actually only very new to the competition space. So he will only be able to compete in Australia. Oh, I mean, he could travel overseas to compete. But as far as the CrossFit Games, he can't compete there until 2024.
Right.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, that's plenty of prep time. They won't know what's hit them, Geordie, when you get over there in 2024.
Yeah.
Jordan, hoping. Wow, that is so good, mate. Well, listen, what we should do, when you compete, do you want a Triple M T-shirt just to get us out there?
Yeah.
What about we do that?
That sounds like a good idea.
We give you a Triple M T-shirt and you can compete when you go up to Queensland.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, Geordie, congratulations, mate. Well done. 16th in the world now after the championship on the weekend. That is huge, buddy. Are you back at training today?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right after the call.
That's quite all right.
Good stuff, buddy. And we'll get that Triple M T-shirt to you, and you can take that up to the Gold Coast, all right?
Yes, I do.
Good on you, Jordan.
Good stuff, Jordan.
Take care, mate.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.